Dairy farms play a big role in Wisconsin, in our culture, our economy, our history. I think the smaller grazing operations that put the environment and care of the animals ahead of maximum profits are certainly a part of our culture here in the state. They are in danger of dying out, but not if our guests can help it. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest today is going to tell us about a really exciting program. It's called the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program. Joel Tomondel, our guest, is a Medford dairy grazier and is the program director for the Dairy Grazing Apprentice Program. And he joins us today from our Wisconsin Public Radio studios in Wausau. And Joe, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, I tell you what, it's great to hear about this new program. First, there's concerns for the next generation of grazing farm ownership and grazing farms. What are the primary concerns?
Well, you know, it's not just the grazing farms where there's concerns. We have a great dairy industry here in the state, of which the average age is approximately 57 or 58 years old. So in the next decade and a half or so, we're going to have a lot of farmers that are interested in transitioning and retiring from from their farms. And they need somebody to take them over. You know, right now, a lot of their options to transition out are to, you know, maybe rent out their farms, you know, to larger operations or large corn and beans, or just plain sell them outright. And many of them want their farms to stay a farm, whether they're grazing or whatever type of management practice they're using. So in order to address that, you know, we need an actual skilled labor force that could come on and own and operate these farms down the road.
Yeah. And we don't have that for the most part. For those not familiar with it, we're talking about grazing models here of farming, of dairy farming. How does that maybe differ from a conventional feedlot dairy farm?
Sure. You know, the grazing dairies, what our objective is to have the cows go out and harvest the majority of their feed throughout our growing months. And that could be, you know, 6 or so months a year where they actually go out, we move them, typically 2 times a day onto a fresh break of grass. So they will harvest their own food and bring it back, and we take the milk from them when they come back. So, I mean, we basically hire them to, you know, do their own harvesting.
Yeah. Joe Tomondel, our guest today, as we talk with him about the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program, we're going to get into the specifics of that, but certainly want to invite you to join in with your thoughts and comments. What do you think about the future of our dairy industry here in the state? Also, are you maybe a dairy grazier? Do you worry about how and who is going to take over your farm, or maybe just a dairy farmer in general? Are you concerned about that? Do you have kids, and are they interested or not? Maybe not. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. It's talk@wpr.org. Or you can post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page and you can join us there. Maybe you are a part of the apprenticeship program, and certainly we'd love to hear from you if you are a part of that program. Get your thoughts on it as well. Well, now, this program then for training apprentices, probably pretty important. I mean, if we're going to have people there to take over.
You know, it's critical. You know, if a person wants to become an agronomist or a school teacher or a doctor, we've got a pathway on how they do it. Go to school, you know, get internships, go through training, and then they land into the career field that they want. If an individual wants to become a dairy farmer, we really don't have that pathway unless they're, you know, they're born on a farm. I mean, unless they've got family on a farm, then it's a little bit easier. But even then, you know, with the dynamics that are going on out there in the ag industry right now and the price of land and equipment and everything, it's very difficult for them to get started. So what we're trying to do is create this actual pathway to farm ownership. There's just a large amount of people who dream about owning their own farm, and they're real entrepreneurial minded, and those are the people that we're looking for to come aboard and are interested in actually managing and owning these things. So when it comes to, you know, what model to use, we've chosen the grazing model because it's one that offers access to dairying. It's a little bit less investment up front. You know, there isn't quite the investment in harvesting equipment and other, you know, feed and manure handling equipment. The cow does a lot of that. And the other things, too, that's going on with the grazing model is in many cases, it's got less of an environmental footprint. We've got a lot of our fields are underneath perennial forages and permanent pastures. And what that's doing is really protecting our soils a lot more. So we're having a lot less runoff is what we're finding from these soils versus, you know, a field that's tilled every year and where annuals are planted, such as soybeans or corn, for instance.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm sure somebody's wondering, well, you know, that's 6 months of the year. What the heck happens in the other 6 months of the year when, you know, we're in the weather like we've got right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what happens is the way these farms are stocked, typically grass grows incredibly fast on the end of May and June where our animals cannot keep up to it. So we harvest the supplemental pastures at that time and we store it for winter. And then there may be some other purchased in feed also to bring them through the winter time here. But what we're really looking at is we're just looking at maximizing the efficiency for that growing season. You know, as soon as the sun comes out and it's hitting the ground and the days get longer, we're growing a crop. Whereas if we needed to, you know, put in a crop or till some ground, we're losing, you know, 2 months of this whole time of the year where we've got the sun is the highest in the sky and we've got this growing season and we're losing it. And our soils are exposed during that time, too.
Yeah, that actually makes good sense. Lynn in Coloma has a comment or question. Hi, Lynn. Thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, we live in the Central Sands, and we're in Pleasant Lake, and we've got these big, huge, icky milk source dairy things all around us. And I'm so happy to hear about this because I think, especially in the Central Sands, this is the way dairy farming needs to go. And I will pay more money for milk from sources that are like this. Mm-hmm. I refuse to buy milk that's raised by these big sources and are dumped on us. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so happy environmentally and with young farmers in mind. And, you know, on the way to the lake, we drive by several small farms that have been dairy farms since the 1950s. You know, I just hope things continue in this way, and I think this is a marvelous project.
Mm. Thanks for calling. Joe?
Yes. Absolutely. Well, thanks so much. Thanks so much for the call. And that can bring up a couple other topics to discuss here also, is that, you know, our dairy industry is a great dairy industry. It's very strong. It's very robust. And over the past 15 or 20 years, it's gone into a little bit of a transformation to try and basically keep up and ramp up production and keep our infrastructure here. Back in the 80s, we're worried about that a little bit in that we just didn't produce enough milk and infrastructure was leaving. And that's where some of these large dairies came into play. It was kind of an initiative to ramp things up again. And it's been successful. The things that we have to be careful of right now is if our whole dairy industry looks the same, we're a very brittle dairy industry, and it's a feast or famine type of an industry. You know, infrastructure is based on volume of milk and numbers of dairy farms, and that's all there is to it. And what we're looking at with these grazing type of dairies is to come in and basically offer a bit more of a diversity within our egg and specifically dairy economy, just to make it a bit more resilient. So if a good portion of our dairy products were produced using a different management system, all of our eggs as a state would not be in one basket, and especially from an economic standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that we're running into with the way our dairy industry looks is, you know, we're going to run into some roadblocks. You know, we've generated just an incredible, a growing dairy industry. We're producing close to 28 billion pounds of milk a year, and we're on target to getting 30 billion pounds of milk by 2020, which are some lofty goals, but they could be obtained. What we're running into is this a sustainable model? What are some factors that are going to keep this from happening? And some of those factors are, you know, like our person just the calling had mentioned, in that, you know, we may have a consumer and a customer base that wants a different type of a product. We may have a public that wants a different looking farm. We also are going to have, so we're going to deal with some public perceptions. And some of the other obstacles in all reality is our environment here. And it's a very big obstacle. You know, we're looking at where a lot of these dairies, the Central Sands, you know, around this, around Lake Winnebago and this donut that they call over on the eastern side of the state, we're looking at very sensitive soils over there and subsoils where we need to really worry about our water quality. And not only that, but our water quality within our watersheds. And that's the Fox Valley as well as our Mississippi watershed. And the thing that's happened with the way the dairy industry has gone is we're producing an incredible amount of milk, but it takes an incredible amount of feed and very intensive feed management. And we've moved more to a system of getting away from forages and pastures, and we're going to an annuals and a corn silage-based kind of a diet and a grain-based diet. So we're asking for a lot more commodity to be produced off an acre of land closer to these dairies if we can. But at the end of the day, you know, we're really looking at a corn silage and a grain-based diet. And that's what is leading to, you know, a lot of our runoff problems also. So it's a reality of it. You know, we're still going to have large dairies, but I really think we need to have a real diverse dairy economy here.
And, of course, part of that diverse dairy economy would be the grazing of farms that are and we're kind of losing them. We still have many, but we're losing them. And so this program is an effort to train people, men and women, to become professional graziers. And it's an apprentice program. I guess, talk about the program. How long is the program? What kind of training do they receive?
Great. Yes, you know, to train a dairy farmer, you know, it's very difficult to train somebody in an existing academic setting. This is really skills that you need to experience and have hands-on and learn day by day. So that's one reason why we've put this program, positioned it into the formalized apprenticeship program. So what we've created is an actual institutional-based program that's got the same credential as an electrician, as a journey worker electrician or a master electrician or plumber. So we've worked with the Department of Workforce Development, Bureau of Apprenticeship Standards in creating this legalized apprenticeship program. And this is the first one. Actually, it's the first one in the nation right now in agriculture and specifically in dairying. So we're real proud of it. It's taken us several years to get going. But the reason why we took this also is because it takes so many skills and so much experience to learn how to run the daily operations on, we're talking about biological systems here that we're managing. They change, mm-hmm. they move day to day, and you need to be very flexible. It's not a real cookie cutter type of a management system. So who better to teach this than the people that have been doing it for 15 or 20 years? So that's why it falls perfectly into the formalized apprenticeship program. So we can lean on the dairymen that have been farming for 15 or 20 years. And what we do is they are allowed to, you know, they bring on one of their employees, or we provide a whole list of potential candidates that want to become dairy farmers, which they can hire from. And once they bring on and they hire this employee, this is a paid position. Once they hire them, it's a 2-year, 4,000-hour work experience. Of that, 3,712 hours are right on the farm following a job book. And this job book is a book full of all the competencies that an individual would need to have to experience or master to own or manage their own farm. And it's everything from ear-taking calves to feed inventories, which they would have to do. And then there's another 288 hours of related instruction. And the related instruction, it's paid instruction also, but it takes place in the classroom. And then some of it is also just through discussion groups, conferences, and networking in with the dairy industry. So that's the basis of the program. And the beauty of putting it in the formalized apprenticeship program is it's a formal program now. Yeah. With an actual credential. You get a physical journey card, and then after 5 years, you get a master card. So we've got an actual credential here that you know, makes people that we could utilize to help transfer and expand our dairy industry, and we can identify these people. So that's the beauty of it. The other great thing about it is that it's on a platform, which this could be taken from state to state now. Because the issues that we're dealing with in Wisconsin are very common to the issues that other states around us are dealing with. So this is a program now that could be duplicated in other states to really have an impact.
Boy, it's an interesting program. Who pays for it, by the way? Does the farmer pay for the intern? Or
the farmer pays for the formal apprentice, yes. And it's just like, you know, in any other trade.
Okay.
You know, formalized apprenticeship has been out there for over 100 years, so it's a great model. And actually, it started here in Wisconsin. So Wisconsin's got just a very strong formalized apprenticeship program, so it was ideal to start it right here. And obviously, we've got ties to Wisconsin and dairy here in Wisconsin, and that's kind of what got it started here.
Talking today with Joe Tomendel, who is a Medford dairy grazier and is the program director for the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program, joins us from our WPR studios in Wausau, talking about the program. You may have a question about it. Are you a dairy farmer? Do you worry about who and how your farm is going to continue? Do you graze? Are you a grazier? And what have your experiences been? Or maybe you're an intern. Have you been an intern and part of this program, or are you in it right now? Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post a question or comment on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller. Carl Christensen, our on-air producer today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll stay tuned, because at 11:45 we're going to learn about some really exciting bioenergy research going on at the UW. Right now, though, we're talking about the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program with Program Director Joe Tomendel. Great to have him along. Again, if you have a question or comment, I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And certainly we'd love to hear from you if you have a question or a comment or maybe an experience to share. And speaking of that, we have Andrew Votis with us online at the moment. Andrew, are you there?
I am.
Great to have you along. Andrew, is you're an apprentice in this program, are you not?
Yes, I'm just finishing up the apprenticeship program. I actually am done on my host farm, and I'm just finishing up a class, and then I'll be graduating pretty quick here.
Why did you decide to participate in this dairy grazing apprenticeship program?
Well, I didn't grow up on a farm, but I spent a lot of time growing up on some of my friends' farms. And then I went to college at UW-Green Bay and studied biology and environmental science. I thought about being a large animal vet for a little while, but knew that I really wanted to farm, but just wasn't sure how I could get into it. Once I was getting ready to graduate, I was kind of looking around for an apprenticeship-type opportunity, but I didn't really know one existed. And emailing around to a lot of different grazers, and one of them pointed me in the direction of Joe Tomendel. So I gave him a call and signed up for the program, and that's kind of how I got involved with it.
That is really cool. What has the experience been like so far?
Oh, it's been awesome. I was placed on a really good family farm. They were great, and they really taught me a lot. It was nice because it was a lot of hands-on stuff. You know, there was some classroom-type learning, but most of it was hands-on right on the farm. And I think I learned a lot more in my 2 years of the apprenticeship than I did in my 4 years of college, to be honest.
Well, anything surprising in it all?
Not really, I guess. You know, I kind of knew what to expect. I was had been involved with farms, you know, growing up, so I kind of knew what farming was all about. But I just kind of wanted to get a feel for if I really wanted to do it full-time, you know, for a living. And kind of it helped with my networking, too. I met a lot of grazers and, you know, met some nutritionists and stuff where I worked. And, you know, it was really a good experience.
So I imagine this apprenticeship program has changed maybe how you see your future.
Yeah, I think so. It made it feel real that I could start my own farm. You know, before I was in the apprenticeship, it just kind of felt like a dream that was really abstract and I guess hard to achieve. But now it feels real. I have some equity in cattle here, and it actually feels like I could go and buy a farm, you know, where a couple years ago it didn't feel real.
Oh, man. So you recommend the program to others?
Oh, definitely. I would definitely recommend it to anyone who's thinking about getting into farming, is interested in grazing, and just looking for a way to kind of take that step from the knowledge they have to getting on a farm, you know. It's kind of an in-between that for people looking to farm, it really is a big hurdle to jump over, and this is a big help.
Yeah. And Joe Tomadil, I imagine a guy like Andrew Votis, it's been a great experience for having him in the program.
Absolutely. Andrew's just done a great job. It was a great relationship between him and the master farmers where he was working on. And we are looking at, we've got you know, staff on board with the apprenticeship program to work on equity earning models and farm transition models. And some of these models, the way they look is that after the apprenticeship program, and maybe even sometimes during it a little bit, some of these apprentices can start earning wages in cattle. And once they earn, you know, continue earning wages in cattle, they start building equity in it. And it may take them some time, but they may ultimately have enough cattle where they can leverage them, you know, against a more sizable herd and then go out and lease a dairy or begin transitioning into a dairy from either the place where they were an apprentice or maybe one of the neighboring dairies or, you know, what have you. So we're looking at these models, and they're real-life business models that are working. So, you know, this whole thought of transitioning farms and being able to farm now is a reality. It can happen. And this is where the grazing comes in also, is because, you know, we could take a lot of farms that are profitable if they're paid for, that are ready to be transitioned. And they're very difficult for a new person to come in and take over, you know, all the capital that's in it and the number of cattle in there. And it's, you know, your 50 to 90 cow standard size farm that's in our state. If they could come into one of those farms and retool them with lanes, fencing, and a managed grazing system, and put about 120 or 150 cows on there, this farm cash flows, and it's a real life thing where they're able to actually, you know, come into it and own it someday
and make some money.
Yep.
Andrew, thank you so much for giving us your experiences. I really appreciate it, and good luck with your future.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Andrew Votis, who participates in that dairy grazing apprenticeship program, wonderful to have him along. And we have lots of callers online. I think I'm going to go to some other callers right now. And Sue in Madison, will give you a chance next. Hi, Sue. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thanks, Larry, for taking my call. I know a young man who works on a farm as a guest worker. He's from Latin America. And I'm wondering if this program would be open to those folks. And I will listen to your comments after when I hang up.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. So we have a foreign guest worker here, Joe. Could it be open to those folks as well?
It could be, as long as, you know, they're able to, if they've got a long enough visa. It is a two-year program, we have to keep in mind. The prerequisites for the program are 18 years of age at a minimum with a high school diploma or something equivalent. So it is somebody that could do it. But again, you got to keep in mind, and I get a lot of phone calls. This is a full-time job. So there's 4,000 hours over 2 years that you will be enrolled in this program. You're earning a wage, but you're committed for 2 years. And again, in many cases, a lot of our apprentices, they're getting through that 4,000 hours in, you know, a year and a half or a year and three quarters, because it just, you know, just the nature of a dairy farm, and they are getting through it.
Mm. Jeff in Fox Lake, on to you now. Hi, Jeff.
Yes, good morning. Now, I don't want to really appreciate what the program represents, and I feel it needs to be done. Just one question I wanted to bring up without trying to sound too negative is, how do you approach the basically the scarcity of land? I've been grazing for a while, too. I own my own farm, but depended on rented land. Now, that's gone. That went into the corn soybean complex, and the pressure here locally is so intense. If any land's available, it's so out of reach as far as especially a younger person trying to purchase it.
Yeah.
The way that corn soybean complex has taken over with the ethanol and the rest of it, and the farm bill only supports that. I'm just wondering, where is this land? I mean, it's really tough to find anything, much less have a land owner that's willing to see it going to grass. How do we change that
attitude?
Yep.
Yeah. That's a great question, and it's something that we do run up against, and we're going to continue to. You know, we've got an industry where, you know, right now land prices are being inflated. It used to be they were inflated by, you know, urbanization, but right now they're so inflated by corn and beans and the commodity type of crops, and it's a little bit difficult. The thing that we're going to be running up against, and what we're seeing a lot more questions about, is our environmental concerns about them. And mainly, let's look at the Bay of Green Bay. I mean, there's some real issues going on there. And a lot of it can be pointed back toward intensive cropping. So I think when we start looking at it as a state and as a dairy industry, and look at the value of our corn and our beans and our cropping, we need to really start subtracting the cost of this phosphorus and all this runoff in our watersheds to really, you know, see and realize the real value of this land. You know, we do have quite a few environmental groups. We've got land trusts and those type of non-governmental agencies coming toward us too, you know, looking at possibly even coming in and either acquiring rights to some of this land, which could offset the value of it, so that we could come in and take some of our more sensitive areas and turn them into more of these grazing pasture type of farms. Regardless, you know, this is not only an environmental thing. It's hugely an environmental thing, but it's also just an economic thing for our state. You know, we need to have a diverse base here, and we need to have diverse production systems within our state. And I think that, you know, I'm confident that grazing can do it. And it's a technology which, if you look at the end product, we need to produce a good, clean, healthy milk product, and we need to do it in an environmentally responsible way. And we can either do it by taking our existing model and continue tweaking it. But the lowest hanging fruit may simply be to take this managed grazing model where we've got our soils covered many more months out of the year, or else permanently throughout the year, where we're really retaining soil on them, and invest some money into developing that industry. So the dairy grazing apprenticeship at a base level is an educational system. But at a little bit more of a broader level, this is an industry development kind of a tool to try and bring in skilled people that are going to be able to come into these sensitive areas, maybe even partner with some of these non-government organizations, and begin putting in managed grazing type of production systems. And then if we can generate the industry behind it, which can work on enhancing productivity out of our plants, you know, working on genetics, working on different types of actual management systems. And then also we've got the whole end of cattle genetics and everything to bring into it. We've got an incredible industry that's untapped here right now in this state, which could, you know, be aimed toward this managed grazing type of a system. And I think that's our lowest hanging fruit right now to really produce a good product environmentally safely.
Mm. Thanks, Jeff, for calling. I want to give Dick in Abbotsford a chance to join in, too. Dick, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Mr. Tamando. I understand there's a grazing work going on at North Central Technical College. Do you work with them? Could you comment on that? And I'll hang up.
Mm-hmm. Sure. North Central Technical College is one of our related instruction sites. When we brought this apprenticeship program to fruition, you know, we had to have some related instruction with it, which is important, and that's the in-class stuff. North Central Technical College came in with their curriculum designers, and in a very short period of time, we redeveloped three of their classes, and it's the dairy nutrition class, the animal health class, and milk quality class into four-day seminars and gave them a bit more of a grazing type of an angle to it. So what we were able to create is a real meat and potatoes four-day seminar. Therefore, an apprentice, wherever they were in the state, would be able to travel to this class. They'd basically be held 2 days a week from 8 to 4 and get their full 2 credits. So North Central Tech has been great from that standpoint to actually host that part of the related instruction.
Yeah, good.
And that's where it comes in. So the apprenticeship program itself, too, and Larry had talked about it earlier, right now we are funded off of Beginning Farmer Rancher Development Grant, and that was some federal monies that was put aside a number of years ago, just basically to target the beginning farmer and new farm startup. So that's what we're operating with right now. And it is, you know, it's going to be a challenge to keep, you know, this thing vibrant as we move forward. We're in a development stage here, and we're looking for more funding for this thing too. And that's where, you know, we can reach out to some of the institutions, the non-government institutions, and beginning farmer type organizations to keep this rolling. But that's one thing that we're reaching out to right now also.
Mm. Keith in Ontario, Wisconsin, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. I first became interested in grazing in the early 90s, and it just made sense that the cows would do the harvesting and spread the manure. But since then, I've was able to get in since my family had left farming at the encouragement of the government, as so many farmers have over the past 50 years. But now I'm actually sprouting barley in the winter, and so I'm trying to maintain a grass-fed diet year-round. And instead of marketing quantities of milk, I'm interested in particularly raw milk, but also cheese milk, with high levels of conjugated linoleic acid and other fat-soluble vitamins that are so important to our health, rather than vast quantities of milk and feeding an infrastructure that is really destined to die.
Yeah.
Great. And that's a common thing that's out there. And I think that's a real untapped resource here in our industry, and especially in the depth of our dairy industry, is we've got a real opportunity for specialized and value-added type of products that are out there. And there's no reason why, you know, Wisconsin couldn't be that supplier on a national or even a world level. And if all of our dairy looks the same, and if all the farms look the same, they're managed the same, we take those cards out of our deck. We can't even play them. So that's why it's so critical for this program to get going and to be able to transition some of these farms so we have more farmers to keep our infrastructure and our industry stronger. And then we also have more cards to play. Because we can branch out into some of these things. You know, what we're looking at, and a lot of these farms aren't necessarily always little farms also. There is a model of expansion for the managed grazing dairies, and I think this is one reason why, you know, typical industry hasn't looked at them a lot, is they think they're just limited, and they're limited to size, and they are limited to size. The size to how far a cow can walk, because they are going out and they're harvesting their feed, so they can only walk so far, so your herds can only be so big. But what we're looking at is, you know, a model of, you know, maybe there's 20, 150 cow farms versus the one 3,000 cow farm. It's not a concentrated animal area. You know, and what we have then is we may have the potential for, you know, some grazers to, they may own 1,000 cows. It just may be on 6 different farms.
Yeah.
And then when this happens, when it's time to cash out of those farms, you've got 6 potential opportunities for independent business people to come in and purchase these farms. So from a rural economic development standpoint and in a business development standpoint, it's a real win-win thing.
It sounds great. It really does sound that way. Keith, thank you very much for calling. I want to give Nate and Merrill a chance as well. Nate, hello.
Hey, Larry, Joe, thanks for taking my call. Hey, just wanted a quick question, Joe, as far as how many people have come through the program, and are you guys looking for any more masters or apprentices, or do you have enough of all those?
Great question. Thanks, Nate. Right now, we've had 7 individuals going through. The program is only about 3 years old. Mm-hmm. We've had 7 individuals through to a journey dairy grazer status. You know, four of them are either on their own farms or managing a farm. And actually, we just had 3 go through here in the last month. And all of them are on a pathway to working into a farm right now. So that's really great to see. And the neat thing about that is, once you have an individual that comes through a system like this, you know, a real business person that comes through it, as they grow their business and expand their business, they're going to take the initiative themselves to help train that next generation. And when that happens, you've got one apprentice that becomes a journey work, that becomes a master. They take the responsibility to train that next one. And then that next one will train another one. And then they'll train another one. So what you end up with is a bit of the potential for some real exponential growth here and a real independent sector of this dairy industry that really generates industry and helps train their next generations. So that's what's exciting about it. In regards to, do we need more apprentices and more masters? Absolutely. You know, we do have a candidate list right now of about 70 candidates on it. And what happens is when a farm calls us or fills out, or goes to our website, which is dairygrazingapprenticeship.org, and fills out an application to become a master, we vet that farm. We visit it. We make sure that they've had 5 years of managed grazing experience and that they can be a good host for an apprentice and be able to go through the job book with them. Once they are approved as a master, they get access to our candidate database. And then they're allowed to hire off of there or hire an apprentice through whatever means they want to. So we are definitely looking for more masters also. That is a bit of our bottleneck. We've got about 25 masters that are approved, and they're all in different areas of looking for an apprentice right now.
Hmm. So there's opportunities out there for on both ends, the internship end and the master end of it as well.
Definitely, definitely. And we are looking at, within this spring here, adding an actual formalized internship component to this whole process that'll parallel the apprenticeship one, and which would kind of be a feeder to the formalized apprenticeship. So what we'd be looking at is doing 3 to 6 months internships on these farms. And that gives not only the master a little bit of, get their feet wet in this whole thing, and it also brings on that potential apprentice to see if this is really what they want to do.
Joe, this has been great. I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us. And you have an online presence as well.
Absolutely. And if you've got any questions or if you're interested in getting involved in regards as an apprentice or as a master, you can go to dairygrazingapprenticeship.org. And my contact information is on there. My email address and everything is on there. But it's dairygrazingapprenticeship.org.
And we have a link on my Facebook page, too. So if you go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, you're going to find a direct link to Joe's site. And certainly there's a lot of great information, obviously, on that site. It's going to give you everything you need to know to get started in this whole effort, whether you're the master or whether you're the apprentice. There's a spot for you in that website. And Joe, again, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today and talk about the program.
Thank you, Larry. It's been a pleasure.
Our guest today, Joe Tomendell, is a Medford dairy grazer, the program director for the Dairy Grazing Apprenticeship Program. And great to have him along. And certainly, I think great to hear about innovative programs to address longstanding problems. Coming up next, we're going to learn about progress being made on the oldest issue we face, I think. It's access to energy that doesn't damage the environment. We'll talk with folks from the Great Lakes Bioenergy Research Center next. So stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.